From the classroom to the cornfield, journalism to SEC athletics, the University of Missouri works 52 weeks a year, every year. This is Inside Mizzou. Real stories, real discoveries, and real impact of the Mizzou community.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's special episode, the 2018 Nobel Week in Stockholm, Sweden. I am Chancellor Alexander Cartwright, and joining me are two of our outstanding journalism students who had the opportunity to travel to Stockholm with Dr. George Smith and cover all of the 2018 Nobel Week events. Meg Cunningham is a senior studying convergence journalism with an emphasis on investigative reporting, and Savannah Rudisill is a senior studying radio, television, and reporting journalism. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So, after you found out you were going to Stockholm, what did you do to prepare for such an important and challenging job?
Savannah and I both got out our old textbooks to brush up on some bio and chemistry because we were like, how are we supposed to explain this, you know, clearly if we don't know what we're talking about? So we both brushed up on some of that. And then I think just general trying to prepare for the craziness of the week. We did some pre-reporting with both George and his wife, Margie, just to try to get to know them a little bit better. And of course, we had a couple extensive phone conversations planning out logistics and gear and travel and all of the stuff like that. But really, it was one of those things where you just had to hit the ground running when you got there, and there wasn't a ton you could do beforehand. It was just a day-to-day hold on tight. So,
and Savannah, right. You?
Right. At the end of the day, it's another story. It's a big story and one that was a lot of fun to tell. But, it's you do as much pre-planning as you can. And then when you get there, you
hope for the best.
Hope for the best. Exactly. For us, it was a lot of equipment challenges for the television side of things. I worked with a lot of very, very smart engineers at KOMU with Mark Bates working on how to get a live shot up. And funnily enough, we use the same technology we use that we go live from Jefferson City, just going live from Stockholm.
Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating. Can you talk a little bit? I seem to remember some interesting travel getting over to Stockholm. Can you give us a little bit of background on that?
Sure. Nathan and I were supposed to fly out of St. Louis, and we were delayed 5-6 times, something like that. Missed our connecting flight out of Chicago, so had a fun little layover there. Ended up flying into Stockholm from Denmark quite a few hours after we were supposed to arrive. But Meg was good. She got there on time.
Yeah, I was interning in Washington, D.C. last semester, and so I came straight from D.C., my apartment in tow, into very overweight suitcases, and got into Stockholm, and I didn't have any gear, so I didn't really know what to do. I couldn't check into the hotel, so I kind of just had them stow away my things, and I went out and just kind of went for a walk, and then ended up kind of starting coverage right then and there. So I turned over a very bad quality spot for KBIA that was recorded on my phone in a cafe, and then the week ensued. So,
well, that's interesting. The fact that you're able to just come up spontaneously with some way to manage it, I think gives a lot to your training here at Mizzou. Can you talk a little bit about the challenges with managing a 7-hour time difference and the large number of events, and when were you live, and how did you manage all of that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
that's Savannah's domain. She's our TV.
Yeah, I was live twice throughout the week because 5, 6, 9, and 10 here is midnight, 1, 4 a.m., and 5 a.m. And so when we're up and at it at 6:30, 7 o'clock, heading to some lectures, and then we're staying up till 4 the next day, had to get kind of creative with how we wanted to manage that time. So a lot of what I recorded were I kind of pre-recorded just some intros to other packages I was doing for the day and getting those out. So it was really nice, actually, to be able to spend as much time as we did on the stories. So if the lectures were over around 1, then we didn't have to turn that story over to our newsrooms here until about 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night. So I think we actually had more time to work on our journalism pieces than we would if it was on the same timeline.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think once we kind of figured out the working process for how we were going to move things, it got super easy. And then it was really like meeting deadline usually wasn't an issue for us. So it was once we figured it out, it was pretty smooth sailing for the most part.
What would you, you know, your particular journalism interest and expertise, how did you use that to expose people to the events and insights, to give the provide insights as much as possible while in Stockholm?
Yeah, I think one thing, I mean, whenever I told people I was going to Stockholm, they were kind of just, they were fascinated about, you know, the whole thing, but they just wanted to know, like, what was going on, like, the day to day. And so I think that's something we both kind of tried to incorporate in our coverage, 'cause just the whole thing was so incredibly special. And we've heard, you know, about Dr. Smith's research and things like that beforehand. So we wanted to kind of give a more human aspect to it. And we wanted to say, we're here, like, with this family. This is what we're doing this week. Here's what they're getting up to. So we kind of wanted to give the audience that content that was maybe something a little bit different, super unique, that isn't a normal, you know, newscast or something like that. So.
Mm-hmm. And again, with the time difference, we would be tweeting and posting things everywhere and no one would be interacting with anything because everyone was still asleep necessarily.
Exactly. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience watching the Nobel lectures in our Magna Hall? What was it really like to hear from some of the most brilliant thinkers and researchers in the world? And what was the energy like in the lectures?
The lectures was my favorite part of the whole week, hands down, being in there. And the challenge that these laureates must have faced to have decades worth of research broken down into 25 minutes in layman's terms, that was worthy of a prize itself, quite honestly. I think myself and just about everyone else in the room was just on the edge of their seats, just listening to or trying to understand how their minds worked to make these great discoveries. I would say the energy was just excitedly tense.
Yeah, for sure. I was like, there were a lot of students who would come out, to watch the lectures, I'm assuming probably from Stockholm University. Everyone was just so engrossed and, just to hear each laureate's like different impact, is just absolutely fascinating. They all kind of connect to the industry in different ways, but it all comes full circle when it comes to like sharing the award and you know, the way that their research worked together. So it was really, really fascinating. And listening to Dr. Smith, I mean, he did this research decades ago, and so he's talked about this a couple of times because he really was a pioneer for this stuff, even though he wants to act like he wasn't. He just did such an eloquent job of explaining it, and I felt really lucky to be sitting there in that lecture hall listening to him, because I think it was something that probably a lot of people didn't get to get such a comprehensive view of what he's been doing. So clearly explained for our poor minds to understand.
I just loved how their personalities came out while they were presenting as well. Yeah, you can read all the research and it kind of starts to sound similar, but you really get to see the difference between the three laureates in chemistry and the way that they presented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was clearly a difference in personalities, and I, you know, I'm of course biased, but I would say that Dr. Smith just did a phenomenal job in his presentation, just in honoring those who came before him, honoring the people who worked with him, and thinking about the future of science at the same time. So fascinating presentation. So anybody who hasn't seen it, watch it, try to find it and look at that.
It's funny as well.
Yeah,
he's very funny.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Yeah, I agree. So both of you also had the opportunity to talk to some of Dr. Smith's previous students, postdocs, and colleagues. What did you learn from them about him, about the process, about the research?
I always love listening to people talk about things that they're passionate about. So even though I have no clue what they're talking about when, you know, they're talking about moving DNA around in cells or whatever the heck else they do, it's still so absolutely fascinating. So I got to listen to him kind of just sit down and chat with his wife and a couple researchers from MIT and Stanford, and just, I mean, incredibly incredible minds. And just listening to them just kind of talk shop for a little while was just so fascinating. And I was like, my brain has no clue what they're even saying, but I'm like so into this conversation. And talking to his students, you really got a sense of how selfless he was when he was in the lab. And he really tried to be a model for them in not only as a person, but as a scientist and as a researcher. There was a really great quote someone said about, you know, he wanted it 100% every single time and he wasn't going to settle. And if there was even one wavering bit that looked maybe like something was off, it was do it again. Let's try it again. He's just so dedicated. And I think all of his postdocs are the same way now because he just created such an intense mold for them. It was just fascinating conversation with them.
Yeah, from his postdoctoral fellows, it feels like we were able to learn things about Dr. Smith that he was too modest to say himself.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
I think a lot of them really look up to them and credit most of their successes that they have today to what they learned in his lab. It, not just the science of it all, but the attitude that you take towards science, the service that you do for the science community and the, you know, community abroad in general. It's both, you know, I think hard skills and soft skills that you learn from a professor like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, when you were there, you talked about the community, you talked about the joy of being there, you talked about the excitement, how much people wanted to engage with the process while there. Can you talk a little bit about that? How did you see those things come together? Community, the joy of being there. How did they come together and how did they make it special?
We were told if there's ever a time to see Stockholm, it's during the Nobel Prize ceremony week. Not only is it all decked out and everything's prepared for the laureates, it's just close to Christmas as well. Someone we met there told us that, you know, since it's dark often in Sweden, there's not a lot of sunlight in those winter months, that they make Christmas last as long as they can to keep the happy part of winter alive as well.
Yeah.
So we met some incredible people just on the street as we were going around, and during the ceremony, as all the laureates and dignitaries were arriving, it was like, it was a little bit like a red carpet event.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, this happens every year for them, and
yeah.
So they're just kind of, oh, stop for a little while and watch.
Yeah. I mean, people were talking and they said the royal family used to be a little bit more public than they are now, and so people would come out. That's what they were doing. They obviously wanted to see some of the most esteemed academics in the world, but the king and queen are also there looking amazing, so let's try to catch a peek. We were sitting out there waiting in the bitter cold, and the Swedes are just so friendly. They wanted to help us. They wanted to know what we were doing, you know, where are you from, da 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 da. And so it was like super fun to just sit there and kind of talk to them and, you know, learn from them and figure out why they like the Nobel so much. And then, yeah, they also, the Nobel kind of organization kind of constructs this way for everyone to meet each other, in kind of a certain setting. So there's a lot of these like little receptions and, things where people can kind of go and toil around. It was just very interesting because, you know, the Smiths would have a very structured event, but then they'd be like, oh, we also have this little scheduled coffee and we're going to go kind of talk shop for a little while over here. And you can tell they're kind of trying to generate some, you know, ideas and see, you know, what other people are working on. And so they just had such a good time, I think, catching up with old colleagues and old friends. And, you know, I read this guy's paper, you know, in the 90s, and now I'm finally meeting him and his research is so fascinating. So it's that aspect of it was very cool. I wish we could have seen a little bit more of that, I think.
That's fascinating. So, you know, a big part of the journalism school, of course, is learning through hands-on, and that's the Missouri method. This is quite a unique experience. And how do you think this has helped you as students and currently, and how do you think it's going to help you long-term with your career?
I don't know about Savannah, but I had never done an assignment where I was just turned on for a week straight and just having to, like, I mean, by the end of it, my eyes were bloodshot and I probably looked like a crazy person.
Only a little.
Because we were exhausted, but just, like, having to push through and persevere, For a week when all we wanted to do was sleep and the sun was setting at 3 p.m. and we were just so tired. It was really difficult. But, you know, it was just one of those things. You just got to put your head down and keep going. And, you know, we obviously have our long days here in the J school, our long weeks. But that was like especially challenging. But now I'm like, OK, I did that. I'll be fine until Wednesday when I get this story turned or something, you know. So, but yeah, it was definitely a challenge, but I learned a lot, I think. So
yeah, a lesson in perseverance and stamina.
Yes, stamina, pacing yourself, the importance of carbs.
If I remember correctly, you had some exams to come back to.
Yes, we did.
We both were kind of trying to study on the plane on the way home, and I had my capstone presentation the next day, so it was really. You know, it's just you do what you got to do. I guess
my com law exam was the next day, and Sandy Davidson was wonderful and accommodating for that. And I just think all the professors and the faculty here were so like great to work with, for sure, especially on the KOMU side. You know, I'd be kind of frantic or calling or, you know, trying to get a nap in before the live shop and making sure they had everything they needed. And it was just very much like, whatever you need, we're here for you. It just really showed me how much support we've got. You know, this is a hands-on method, and we were the reporters out in the field, but we were never alone.
Yeah.
I had a lot of people rooting for our success and were doing anything they could to help us. So it's just a reminder of what great faculty we've got here and what they're going to do for us.
That's like a perfect point for me to interject and shout out Ryan and Nathan being so incredible and kind of spearheading this and helping us out. And I don't know how he does it, but Nathan knows everything. So like, thank God he was there with us, because he knew every single thing that could possibly go wrong. And he was like ready to tackle it. Which was just so great, because really at the end of the day, we were just hoping that everything was fine. And so he was making sure that, I mean, I don't know how many backup XLR cables we had, but it was a lot. And so, and then, of course, Ryan's been kind of holding on to this collaboration thing that the J School is trying to work on. And so he was very open to trying new ideas and kind of figuring out what we can do to bring back the best coverage. So it was just so much fun experimenting with them and trying to figure out the most efficient way to do things, but also still being very unique. And so such a cool experience, and really glad I got to kind of work so closely with them for the week. It was so much fun.
Yeah. And going into the workforce, you know, you do see a lot more converging in newsrooms and a lot more multimedia showing up on different platforms. So that was a really cool experience to get to work on that now, you know, with all the faculty here and with Meg. And going into looking into jobs and things like that, already having something like that in our back pocket, some kind of experience that it'll help. And I'm not sure what else we could do to stand out for other journalism graduates when looking for jobs.
This isn't enough. No, yeah, for sure.
You know, I talk quite a bit about how fabulous Dr. Smith was and his wife, Margie. And, you know, they really have, their entire family has been just so engaged with this process and so giving of their time. And they did a phenomenal job while in Stockholm. But I have to say that the two of you and the entire team just were fabulous.
You did such a great job
in Stockholm. Really made us proud and shows why we really do have the oldest and best journalism school in the world. So thank you. Before we end, I'm supposed to ask you a question. And I think it's appropriate since we were in Stockholm and it was quite cold. So why should you stand in a corner of a room if you get cold?
I have no clue.
I'm not sure.
Because it's always 90 degrees.
If you could hear my eyes roll.
Thank you so much.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Hay. Our featured music is Forest Park Rhapsody, composed by MU undergraduate and music composition major Ben Calagiovanni. You can find more information about Ben and his piece on the Inside Mizzou webpage. Make sure to join us next time and keep an eye out for the Chancellor's newsletter to stay on top of what's happening at Mizzou. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Inside Mizzou. See you around the columns.